your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Hello, David.
Hi, Johnny.
David from the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
That's correct, just like the intro suggested.
Very accurately, too.
Good.
We try to be accurate when we're talking about space stuff, because we know it's all about the maths, mate.
It is.
Now, David, tell us about this first alien interstellar interloper that was currently speeding past Earth.
Is that too many inters in one thing, maybe?
Well, interloper in that it wasn't invited.
Ah, right.
It didn't
belong.
It's an object that came around the sun, but it didn't come from the solar system. It's an asteroid, a rock, that came from between the stars.
What the?
So it's just this thing is actually the first thing from outside our solar system that is just cruising through space that we've ever noticed.
That's right. And this particular one, it was all a bit odd. At first they thought it was a comet, and then they quickly realized that was not the case at all. It's completely dry, no water ice or anything like that. It's also very long. It's about 180 meters long, but only about 30 meters wide, so it's a bit like a cigar shape.
Huh.
Which is very unusual indeed.
Have they been able to take like some sort of photo of it with a telescope? Can they see? Because I saw it, like a picture of it, and I wasn't sure if it was real, and it looks quite bizarre.
No, I think there'd be an artist's impression.
Do we need to send a group of people headed by Bruce Willis onto this item to drill into it and then implant something to blow it up so it doesn't collide into Earth?
That'd be great, except that it's travelling far too fast.
Okay. Oh, how fast is it going?
How we know it's not from our solar system, the speed it was travelling at. When it went around the sun, it was travelling at 87 kilometres per second.
Oh, that feels like quite a lot.
It is. Well, the Earth right now is travelling at 30 kilometres a second.
Oh, wow.
That's how fast we have to go to get around the sun in a year. Mercury is much, much closer to the sun. It's travelling at 48 kilometres a second. Well, this object went at 87 kilometres per second.
Hmm.
So nearly double the speed of Mercury.
If we shoot a rocket into space, how many metres per second does a rocket usually travel at?
When we send it into orbit, it's travelling at just under 8 kilometres a second. If it's going to Mars, it'll be travelling about 11 kilometres a second.
Okay, so this thing is going crazy fast.
It is, absolutely. Hmm. It's not coming back. It's literally, I mean, it also didn't come in the same sort of direction as the planets. The planets go around the sun like marbles on a tabletop.
Right.
This one came from above the sun. So from up high, it didn't sort of come at a low angle at all. It came from above the sun, and it would be at below the sun.
If that thing had have been a bit closer to Earth, and perhaps
yes, John, it could have
Earth,
killed everything.
Would it have just blown Earth to smithereens?
It wouldn't blow to smithereens, no. But it would have been a very catastrophic event, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the first one, and they didn't know what to call it, because but there are other objects. There's a system they use for naming them and so on. So because it was discovered by an Hawaiian group, they've given it an Hawaiian name. I'm going to pronounce this wrong, I know, but it looks like Oumuamua, which means scout.
Okie dokie.
Oh,
so,
nice.
I probably would have gone with interloper number
got
one.
A designation, which is all a bit complicated, but Oumuamua is what people are calling it.
Okie dokie. Cool.
Now, the Rocket Lab and Google Lunar X Prize, what's happening there?
Well, Rocket Lab, they still haven't launched their second test rocket. They announced a few weeks ago that they'd sent their second booster down to Mahia Peninsula, but they really don't tell us very much about when it's going to go. You've just got to keep on waiting until they get all their ducks in a row, I guess. But what's interesting is that is for their commercial operations. What they're also signed a contract with is a crowd called moment, I've got myself now, Moon Express, that's right, who are part of the Google Lunar X Prize, and the idea of that prize is to for a non-government organisation to send a rocket up to the moon, land a rover for it to travel half a kilometre and send back images and data. And they get $20 million if they achieve that. Rocket Lab have signed a contract to send that craft from Moon Express up to the moon. They've got to the end of March to achieve that.
What?
Yeah.
They don't have long, do they?
No, well, they got to the end of March. Five companies in the running. They had to have contracts signed by the end of last year, and only five companies achieved that.
Okay.
But you know, we're one of them, and we'll just see what happens.
Feels like it pays not to rush these things, but go for it, guys. Go for it. Yeah.
Well, this has actually been going quite a while. In fact, Google, they changed the deadline a little while ago to give everyone a bit more time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So hopefully they'll do it this time.
What an interesting project.
Mm. Not as interesting as this next topic, though.
The flat Earth.
Yes.
Built a rocket, and he was going to hop on board and prove...
Old mate.
The Earth is flat.
Old mate, the taxi driver from the States has built a rocket that is researching the flat Earth.
Yeah, well, he's not going anywhere because he didn't get the right permissions to launch this rocket.
Oh, wait, that's perfect. That is perfect. Are you telling me right now that the man stopped him from going up and doing his thing? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying it was the FAA and...
Right.
The people who look after the land that he was launching from.
That sounds like maybe some government influences, maybe. Do you see where I'm going with this, don't you, Peter?
I know where you're going with it.
Do you think
it's not very plausible.
Let the man go on his crazy rocket mission.
But
eh?
It will be just, I guess, firming up his own beliefs.
Yeah, big
that
time.
It's a conspiracy. But
yeah,
it's what
I mean,
a crazy
he wants
story.
To get high enough with a subsequent rocket that he can take a photo of the Earth showing it's not a ball but a disc.
Heaps of winterless north ice walls surrounding...
I mean, what's more important, I think, is... Because I was going to talk about his launch, but it's not happened, so there's nothing to talk about as far as I'm concerned. He's just an idiot. But anyway...
we nurture idiots here at BFM, though.
What people are looking at now, when rockets do go up into space, they leave a trail of vapour and other stuff behind.
Hmm.
And the particulates and so on, and they go right through the ozone layer or that level of the atmosphere. And it turns out that no one's actually done any real research on the effect of that on the ozone layer, whether the emissions from rockets going up that high might be having an effect on the ozone layer. Not only that, when rockets burn up coming back into the atmosphere,
right.
You know, people think, oh, well, they vaporize, and therefore they disappear.
Mm.
Well, they don't disappear, they vaporize, and there's a whole bunch of stuff, of smoke-sized particles left behind.
Right.
That could affect the atmosphere. So
I guess with more and more people making their own little homemade rockets, this is going to become more and more poignant, isn't it?
Absolutely, including Rocket Lab, who, you know, they want to be launching rockets every couple of weeks or so. The people haven't actually, researchers haven't really looked at this and tried to quantify the effect or even figure out exactly what's happening at the chemical level with aluminium and, like if you burn a computer up, what comes off that? Well, that's what's happening when a spacecraft re-enters. You've got all those sort of metals and so on. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a bit of a move towards trying to research that.
Okay.
And so what's happening with the current night sky at the moment?
Night sky after sunset. We've got Mercury and Saturn low in the west, but you've got to be quick because they're dropping back towards the sun. So we've got a few more days to see Mercury and Saturn before they get swallowed up in the sunlight. We've got Matariki after sunset over in the northeast. Matariki's in the sky the whole night at the moment.
Wow.
So you've got no excuse to not see that. In the morning sky, we've got Mars over in the east and Jupiter. Jupiter's quite low down, but that's getting further away from the sun, so that's getting easier and easier to see.
Oh, mate.
The only thing over the next week is the moon's getting bigger and brighter, so I'm afraid the sky is going to get brighter as well. But, you know. These come in cycles, don't they?
That's right. That's why we get the waves.
Yeah.
Now, what is happening at the Stardome in these last few weeks before Christmas?
Well, it's a couple of things. Firstly, we've got the Great Christmas Give Back, which is people bring along either money or items for the Auckland City Mission and for the SPCA in Auckland. They can drop them off at Stardome or arrange for them to be picked up. We have a bunch of stuff that might interest people as far as Christmas presents and so on go. For instance, there's the Starlight Explorer Pass, which is an annual pass to Stardome, $40 for an adult, but that means unlimited entry to planetarium shows for a whole year, unlimited courtyard telescope viewing, half price for special shows, free entry to school holiday sessions, a free copy of the Astronomical Yearbook, and a whole bunch of things like that. So it might be, I think it would actually be a great gift to give someone.
A gift that keeps on giving all year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's also Adopt a Star program where you get a star. You don't own it.
Are these stars,
You get a gift pack with a whole bunch of stuff. Just go to the website at stardome.org.nz and there's lots of details there. It's $65. And you get a star map so you can find your star in the night sky. A very good present. I think you get an adult and two children passes to Stardome as well as part of that. And the other thing is the actual yearbook itself, which I mentioned a while ago. It's now out on the bookshelves in the shops. That comes out each year. There's a whole bunch of articles and interesting photographs and so on there, and of course the charts for the night sky in the coming weeks. That's $20. You can either get that in the bookstore, come to Stardome, or you can order them online.
Perfect. Cool. Hey, thank you for another fantastic edition.
No problem.
And we'll catch you next week, David.
2 weeks.
In a couple of weeks.
Of course.
Yeah, look forward to it.
Skip a week, don't we?
Mm. All right, well, speak then, David.
Okay. All right, bye.
Bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.